to DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Authorities in Michigan still trying to figure out why a gunman opened fire on the campus of Michigan State University Monday night, killing three and wounding five before later turning the gun on himself.
An exact motive remains under investigation, but authorities described the gunman as a loner who they say was apparently targeting locations he believed had somehow hurt him. The campus here says they will be closed until Thursday.
ABC's Alex Perez. Police say the 43-year-old gunman had no apparent connection to the campus. The Associated Press reporting that former Vice President Mike Pence intends to challenge a subpoena from Special Counsel Jack Smith. The humanitarian crisis growing in Turkey and Syria following last week's earthquake, an estimated 1 million people now living in shelters. Elon Musk says he anticipates finding a CEO for Twitter, quote, probably toward the end of the year. He posted a poll in December asking users if he should step aside. This is ABC News. Tiger Woods says he's still recovering from the 2021 car crash that severely injured his legs, but he says he's ready to make his return to the PGA for the first time in months.
As Tiger Woods makes his return to the Genesis Invitational, he admits he's rusty. He's still having problems with his right ankle. 2 years ago, as he was pulled from a crashed SUV, it seemed he might lose his right leg. Now he's making his return.
I would not have put myself out here if I didn't think I could beat these guys.
He's returning to the same event he was attending 2 years ago when he crashed the Genesis SUV. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
The Ohio town that's been upended by a freight train derailment earlier this month has invited residents to a town hall meeting on Wednesday to discuss lingering questions. Officials have said that it's safe for residents to return after the train caught fire and released toxic chemicals, but some residents have expressed skepticism, reporting headaches, shortness of breath, and vomiting. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation.
Yes.
With the I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which
Right.
was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlo at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Tuesday. Happy Valentine's, my little buddy. How you doing, man?
Hey, Crudy. Happy VD to you, Evan, on the board, our fair audience. Happy VD to everyone out there.
Why are you going to do that? It takes all the luster off the day.
You kidding me? It makes it that much better. Oh, happy Tuesday, man.
Can we just call it Valentine's Day?
I mean, you can. I like to keep it short and sweet. Happy VD Day. Happy VD. I mean, you can't say day. It's Valentine's Day, VD. Happy VD.
Is that something you and Joe decided in college? Or trip to the free clinic later and it was VD Day?
No, man. I think actually Steph started that with me a long time ago. So it kind of stuck. So what are you going to do, man? It's funny. So well, it's funny. That's why we say it.
Happy Valentine's to our lovely wives, Mrs. Crudy and Mrs. Salvia.
Why are you telling my wife happy VD, man?
So proud they must be.
Keep my wife's name out your damn mouth, Crudy. I'll jump through the screen.
Well, it's going to be like that, is it? Tom, are we going to talk politics today or just trash talk?
I think perhaps a little bit of both. I know, man, so much going on. Of course, not doing the show yesterday, all the news and the news over the weekend. I mean, it seems like just a cornucopia of news and information just being thrown at me all last several days. So, yeah, it's a lot to get to. But I think we got to start, you know, right here in our own backyard, Crudy, because I got to tell you, dude, the Republican Party's in disarray.
1 week away from the U.S., Wisconsin Supreme Court primary, we've got a Republican Party, as Tom would describe them, in disarray. Disarray. I'm a little gleeful when I hear those words, Tom, because this could be the most important election of your lifetime, at least spring election. Supreme Court election, certainly. The balance, the soul of the Wisconsin Supreme Court is in the balance.
And this is really the first time that we've had a chance, us non, you know, mega conservatives, to impact a part of our government, three branches of government, right? The judiciary here in Wisconsin. I mean, we've been overrun by Republicans for years and years and years. We actually have a chance now. It's our first chance to get a really, really big win that could have some very, very positive consequences for the state.
It's the most recent chance we've had. Prior chances, we've just blown them. The Rays 4 state Supreme Court has turned into a social media brawl, Dub.
Oh, what?
On February 1st, District 2 Court of Appeals ruled that Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge, you know, the celebrity Dom, Jennifer Doro, took it easy on a defendant. Well, you're going to have a hell of a time winning on behalf of the Law and Order Party, taking her easy on a defendant.
Easy on crime, Jennifer Doro.
Convicted of drunken driving for the fifth time.
Five? I mean, only five. This is Wisconsin. I can see why she'd want to go easy on her. Judge Doro probably thinking this defendant might be one of the regulars in her new shoot 'em up, you know, gun range bar. That's where you make your money, man. It's the regulars.
Doro, who is currently running as a conservative candidate for the state Supreme Court, sentenced the individual to probation and 9 months of work release. But the appellate court said the defendant should have gotten at least 1 year behind bars and probably the presumptive mandatory minimum of 1.5 years in prison. That's substantially different than 9 months.
Yeah, probation, 9 months work release versus 1.5 years in prison. Definitely a difference.
Here's the insight. If you're not paying attention, Shelley Grogan, who is an appeals court judge here in the state of Wisconsin, not only ruled on this case, wrote the decision, and then went out and publicly trashed the district court judge, in this case, the candidate Doro. Appeals court judge Shelley Grogan, who wrote the decision, called Doro's sentence unlawful. Unlawful. Ouch, says Dan Bice. The ruling prompted one of Doro's biggest cheerleaders, conservative talk show host Mark Belling, to attack Grogan, who is endorsing conservative candidate Dan Kelly. I mean, it's all very incestuous.
It is, man.
A total of four candidates are running in the February 21st primary for the high court, including liberal Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz and Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell. But we're talking about the disarray of the conservative side, the Republicans, Dom. In an article on his website, Belling wrote that Grogan was calling local lawyers to mock Doro and crow about the appellate court ruling. Here's a very profound question from Mark Belling, and I mean this in all sincerity. I think this is an excellent question. He writes, did Grogan overturn Doro just so she could rip her? Is it ethical for an appellate judge to use her own ruling to score political points against another judge? No one really knows because no one can think of another appellate judge who's done it. But Grogan is right now, real time, Tom, because it's getting heated up in here. But here is where things took a very non-judicial term, Dom.
Crudy. Vice reports, Doro's campaign told the Journal Sentinel last week that she would not be commenting on Grogan's ruling because the case has been sent back to Doro's court for resentencing. But then, around noon on Sunday, Doro's campaign posted Belling's entire online commentary on her Twitter page, even taking out a poll quote, state liberals clearly believe Doro is stronger than Kelly. They are running attack ads against Doro, but leaving Kelly alone. So much for staying silent on the issue, but it didn't stop. Crudy, 7 hours later, Grogan took to Twitter to offer her rebuttal, an almost unheard of action by an appellate judge. And here was her rebuttal. Three Court of Appeals judges unanimously reversed Judge Doro and State v. Shrinikin, Grogan tweeted. Judges Grogan, Lazar, and Neubauer concluded Doro didn't follow the law and remanded for resentencing. The court decides cases based on law, not politics. And then she tags Doro and Mark Belling. As Bice writes, so that's what you missed by watching the pregame to the Super Bowl. The dispute has to do with the case of Lynn Shirikian, a 50-year-old Delafield resident who was arrested for drunk driving for the fifth time in May of 2020. Residents called Waukesha County authorities saying she was driving erratically after attempting to steal booze from a local establishment. A little enhancer. She told officers that she'd been drinking wine, vodka, and tequila earlier in the day. She had a blood alcohol level of 0.299, nearly four times the legal limit. Damn. She was charged with felony counts of fifth offense operating a vehicle while intoxicated, operating with a prohibited alcohol concentration, and bail jumping. She faced a maximum sentence of 26 years in prison and fines up to $60,000. In February, she pled guilty to one count of fifth-time OWI, with the other charges being dropped but read into the record. At the court hearing, Doro noted the seriousness of the offense, but also noted such mitigating factors as family support, recent treatment, and volunteer work. The judge imposed but stayed a sentence of 3 years in prison and 2 years of extended supervision. In the end, Shurikian was placed on 3 years probation and 9 months of work release. 2 months later, prosecutors asked Doro to reconsider her sentence. Please reconsider. Hell, she could have got 26 years. Please reconsider. But she refused, saying her actions were valid and in accordance with the court's authority. The three-member appeals court found otherwise. In the appellate decision this month, Grogan wrote that fifth and sixth time drunken driving convictions have a presumptive mandatory minimum of 1.5 years. A circuit court can instead set the sentence at only 1 year behind bars, Grogan wrote, but only if the court finds that the best interests of the community will be served and the public will not be harmed by the shorter sentence. Those reasons must be put on the record, but nothing short of 1 year in prison is permitted, according to the appellate court ruling. Grogan wrote that Doro's ruling let the victim, Shakurian, off easy. Quote, because the circuit court imposed an unlawful sentence that did not comply with the statutes, we reverse the circuit court's order denying the state's motion seeking resentencing. We remand the matter back to the circuit court with direction to resentence to a lawful sentence consistent with the opinion. Apparently, the new court date has not yet been set.
Dominic, liberals were quick to criticize Doro's handling of the case. The outcome of the Supreme Court race will determine if liberals or conservatives will control the high court. And Joseph Oslin, spokesman for the State Democratic Party, said it's clear that Doro completely misinterpreted the state statute and imposed a light sentence. Here's a further quote, Tom. It's disturbing that Jennifer Doro appears to have botched yet another sentencing decision. Fortunately, the Court of Appeals was able to step in and ensure justice was done in this case, and that a dangerous individual with five OWI offenses was not let off with a slap on the wrist. A spokesman for Protasewicz said voters can't trust Doro's extremely bad judgment. What Jennifer Doro does when cameras aren't in the courtroom is troubling, says Sam Recker from the Protasewicz campaign. Kelly declined to comment. That's a rarity, Dom. apparently, they didn't ask Everett Mitchell on this one. But anyways, five-time convicted DWI offender, Dom.
I'm pulling months? A .2999, man. I mean, that's not just, you know,
stealing
barely over.
Stealing booze bottles, looking to push it up.
Yeah,
worse.
She got a strong family, and she volunteers once in a while.
Where at? The bar? Does that count? Can you get public service at a bar, Dom?
If they sign the note, perhaps.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Hope it's a wonderful Valentine's to everybody listening. Unless you're Dan Kelly. And then I hope you've got a really bad day to look forward to. You know, I continue to catch hell for the Dan Kelly ads around here. And I continue to be unmoved. Keep running the Dan Kelly ads, I say. More Dan Kelly, more Dan Kelly. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. You're going to enjoy it. 844-967-2789.
We do not train to be merciful here. Mercy is for the weak.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K. is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio wa sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great, too.
Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected overnight with a chance for scattered rain showers. Lows around 41, winds out of the south, 10 to 20 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 43, overcast. 23 tomorrow night, chance for snow. 1 to 2 inches of snow Thursday through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 45.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the big program at 844-967-2789.
Donovan, whatever your name is, Dominic.
Donovan.
Bob. Nick. You know, I hate to root against the defendants in a court of law. I've been in that chair once or twice or
three
couple times. A couple of times.
I mean, indiscretions of youth.
Yeah, something like that. I've been in that chair, and I hate to root for a stiffer sentence. You know, like the judge in Caddyshack. Sentence boys younger than you to the gas chamber. Didn't want to do it. Thought I owed it to them.
Come on, though, man. Five DUIs, dude. The neighbors called her or called the cops, right? 0.2999. I mean, that's stumbling drunk. I mean, unless you're pure on full alcoholic, then maybe it's just her getting out of bed. But that's pretty bad, man. That's very, I mean, the accidents we have in this state because of drunk driving, yeah, it's problematic to not get any time after five.
Well, 9 months, that's time, but that's not sufficient.
Work release? Come on, man. Work release? You consider that doing time? You did work release. Was that doing time?
Well,
right,
worse
man.
Than being at home on the couch. You would get out for 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. That's what work release jail's like. It's not really jail. I'll admit. I didn't really do any jail time. No, I didn't. And I came from a small town, so it was pretty. It was a bunch of guys who had gotten DWIs.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, I almost feel like some had gotten so terribly behind on their child support. But can you go to debtor's jail? I wasn't clear. You know, that's always the excuse. But, you know, the three drug offenses is probably a kicker.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, it was sort of a joke, Dom. I spent some time. It was like going to a dormitory. There are lots of beds. More like the military experience I had. In the military, the dorms had bunk-style beds. That's what day camp jail was like. Bunk-style beds, lots of dudes snoring. That's
your work release was like that, bunk-style beds.
Yeah.
Did you get frisked on the way in? Did you bring tobacco?
I did bring tobacco in. Annoying that I was committing contraband. In fact, I wasn't even discreet. I had I used smokeless tobacco. At a round 10 of Copenhagen in my front pocket. I walked right in. Like, I didn't know you couldn't do that. We wore street clothes. Like, I would wear civilian clothes all day long. You'd, like, have to take your car keys and hand them off. They'd stick them in a locker. You know, so you couldn't jam a guy with your car keys, I guess. But, no, I had a vehicle sitting outside. I mean, hell, if I wanted contraband, I'd leave it in the car. It was sitting in the parking lot. Why would I bring it into jail? But once I learned you weren't technically supposed to bring tobacco into jail, then from then on, I was much more discreet.
About bringing tobacco into the jail?
Yes, absolutely.
You didn't stop bringing tobacco into the jail.
No, absolutely not.
You were just more discreet about bringing it into the jail.
Yes.
Gotcha. Was there weed smoking going on at the work release?
Some.
Sounds like a party, man.
There were harder drugs than marijuana going on. Yeah. There was cocaine use in that work release jail. First night I walked in, and the stallless bathroom doors, and some dude sitting there, not utilizing the bathroom so much, is snorting lines off a mirror in the bathroom. I'm like, oh, it's that kind of work release jail. And some other dudes told me they were tripping balls that night. They had taken some acid or something. They were just bouncing off the walls, I guess. But
you got to get through the 12 hours, man, before you get out again. You got to pass the time somehow, I guess.
Well, one night a week, you would have to stay continuously. And for me, that was Mondays. Because Mondays, and I would get out to work at a restaurant. But Dragon slept on Monday. It was the Dragon restaurant. That was the joke. Dragon slept on Monday. Yeah. So I would get out 6 days a week, and I'd work split shifts. But, of course, I told them there was no break in the shift. So I told them I worked a continuous 12-hour restaurant.
Yeah, hardworking man.
Well, except I'd, you know, eat some Chinese food. I'd go home, take a shower, take a nap. I'd go back and work the evening shift, and then I'd have like an hour of downtime before I had to go back to day camp jail. And, you know, my roommates were smoking something, I might join in. But
yes,
let's just call it a sober January for me, at least from an alcohol point of view.
So Judge Doro's decision to not follow through on the required sentence for this fifth, you know, OWI offender. And to answer Belling's question and your point, apparently it was a unanimous appeals court decision.
Neubauer.
So, yeah.
Neubauer
was on that, yes.
Was a liberal that lost to Brian Hagedorn. She was the preferred Supreme Court candidate back in 19, I believe it was.
So three different judges from different political backgrounds looked at what Doro decided and said, oh, hell no, no. And again, I think it goes back to her judgment or lack thereof. This is the same woman who wants with her husband to open up a gun range / bar / wedding.
I don't know
hall.
Why you think that's such a bad idea. I can see getting slashed and going shooting.
Come on, man. That's a terrible. Because that's why. Because it's a terrible idea. I mean, imagine this lady who's got her .2999 OWI at the gun range, man. That's why. No, that's a bad idea. So it goes to the judgment. And no, it's not so you right-wing talk radio can rip on a judge because, what, she's supporting a different conservative judge versus your conservative judge? Man, you guys are, seriously, I mean, really, you guys are in such disarray. I mean, get your crap together. I mean, we got this coming up. We have a primary coming up next week. You don't see the Dems crapping all over each other in social media.
I should shoot at you because I'm too drunk to walk across the room and slap your face.
Pew, pew, pew.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's a Tuesday, 1 week to the Supreme Court primary. Gonna wean out a couple of bad candidates, Dom. And I, if you can't tell, am still rooting for Dan Kelly. He's my kind of real conservative, Dom. The balance of the court comes down to one seat. And if you want a real... the real conservative, vote for Dan Kelly in the primary. Trust me. I'm being strategic here. More devil.
Don't do that.
More strategery on the other side.
All right. Do we know any coke dealers?
My cousin's a cokehead.
Yeah, probably.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Authorities in Michigan still trying to figure out why a gunman opened fire on the campus of Michigan State University Monday night, killing three and wounding five before later turning the gun on himself.
An exact motive remains under investigation, but authorities describe the gunman as a loner who they say was apparently targeting locations he believed had somehow hurt him. The campus here says they will be closed until Thursday.
ABC's Alex Perez. Police say the 43-year-old gunman had no apparent connection to the campus. The Associated Press reporting that former Vice President Mike Pence intends to challenge a subpoena from special counsel Jack Smith. The humanitarian crisis growing in Turkey and Syria following last week's earthquake, an estimated 1 million people now living in shelters. Elon Musk says he anticipates finding a CEO for Twitter, quote, probably toward the end of the year. He posted a poll in December asking users if he should step aside. This is ABC News.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media, too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
As goes Wisconsin.
Mandela Barnes, future runs. Not yes, not no.
You know, I'm not closing the door, right? Like, taking a loss is not easy. And it's tough, too, when it's such a razor-thin margin. You know, I know some people who just get up right away and decide they want to run again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not there. But, you know, it's all timing.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underley said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Earl Ingram.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, anybody who's heard Congresswoman Bobart from Colorado and Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, you just have to ask the question, if I'm a Republican, why would I continue to support that foolishness?
Asking the tough questions, searching for the answers we're all looking for. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It is a day for the lovers of the devils everywhere. You could be one of the lovers of this fine product just by joining 844-967-2789. Hell, you don't even have to be monogamous. Tell everybody about us. You can share us with all your friends.
Yeah, it's a party up in here.
It'd be a hell of a party up in here. I'm sure you've been to a few of those parties. Probably out towards Brookfield. Let's talk about meddling, Dom.
Democratic strategery, Crudy. You like the strategery, right? Isn't that what you're all about? I don't like these ideas, man.
I like my strategery.
Oh, okay.
I don't like this strategery. I tried to stink shit. Because my strategery is this. Let me clarify the point. Around here, we run a little media network, Civic Media. Maybe you heard of us. You're listening right now. And I have always been a small, undercapitalized station owner. And now that we are a network and there are Republicans and super PACs in different groups that want to buy some or all of our different messaging platforms, I say, good. We are a bulletin board for the truth. As long as they tell the truth, I can live with that. because running this old network costs a lot of money. And I want a durable, ongoing, 365, 24/7 response mechanism. And you know what? I've tried funding it out of my pockets. Doesn't work like that. Little guy like me can't keep a radio station, a network going. So while we certainly have funding, and as I pointed out prior, Dom, I don't think my partner's broke so much, as I've been quite insistent that we should take these dollars. Because if you want to tell the people that Dan Kelly is the real conservative that voted to keep you home during a pandemic, oh, no, he didn't. He voted to make you go out and vote during a pandemic in person, couldn't even do absentee. If that's the kind of potential Supreme Court justice that appeals to you, the real conservative kind, then you should vote for Dan Kelly. And the fact that his ads run on this station and tell you that he's the real conservative, so I don't have to. And they pay me for the right to do that, Dom. Well, fella, I think that's genius. I'm going to keep cashing those checks. And I know nice people like Georgia. Georgia sent me a long, thoughtful email. Me, Tom Hartman, Stephanie Miller, a lot of the people that appear on this fine network, and said, who made this disastrous opinion and decision? And I said, it was me. It was me. I'm proud of it. I made a conscious choice. I made a strategic choice. You can disagree with it. You can choose not to listen to the greatest radio show ever, but why punish yourself like that? Call me and chastise me publicly at 844-967-2789. We've done
so
this.
So what I fail to
I've
see,
been publicly
Crudy,
chastised.
How is this different from what the Democratic Party did in the midterms and, according to this New York Times piece, continue to do today by propping up what they would consider unelectable or more unelectable mega fringe candidates?
Let me draw
like you're
the
pushing up
direct
Kelly.
Oh, au contraire. I'm telling you exactly who Dan Kelly is in his own Super PAC's words.
Sure.
Expense.
Okay.
They're paying me for the right to say that. The difference in this article, Reed Epstein at the New York Times, the Democrats in their strategy, they're expending their resources to lift up bad candidate Republicans, which is a waste of the meager resources. Lift up the Dem team.
Right.
With your own money, lift up your team. Or, alternatively, crap on the other team. But what you don't do is you don't expend your hard-earned donor dollars lifting up a candidate of the other team. That's where I disagree with this strategy being currently utilized in the state of Wisconsin. Reed Epstein reporting at the New York Times. Last year, Democrats spent millions of dollars elevating far-right candidates in Republican primary contests for governor and Congress, betting it turned out correctly that more extreme opponents would lose general elections. Now Wisconsin Democrats are trying to do it again, this time with mail and TV ads before a Republican primary in a special election for state Senate seat that carries ramifications far beyond the district in suburban Milwaukee. Talking about the former Alberta Darling seat, Dom,
yes,
that would be
Wisconsin's
your Senate district.
8th Senate district. That's my Senate district. Yes, I have a little skin in this game.
As the Times reports, the Democrats are helping a far-right election denier who has become a pariah within her own party in her race against a less extreme but still election-denying conservative. They hope that with a more vulnerable opponent, Democrats can win a seat held for decades by Republicans and deny the GOP a veto-proof majority in the gerrymandered chamber. Janelle Branchon is as conservative as they come, reads a postcard sent to Republican voters from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, which calls her a conservative pro-Trump Republican. That's all true, right?
Yes.
That's all true. The February 21st primary and April 4th general election to follow will serve as the latest test of how much appetite Republican voters have for the flavor of election denialism. Oh, they love it, Dom. How much appetite they have for the flavor of election denialism that fueled the party's grassroots after former President Donald Trump's 2020 election lost And the twist in Wisconsin's race is that both leading Republican candidates took significant public states to try and overturn Mr. Trump's defeat. One of them, however, Dom's girl, Miss Brangen, a state representative from Menominee Falls, has so alienated members of her own party that she was kicked out of the state assembly Republican caucus, leaving Democrats giddy. Do I come off as giddy, Dom?
Yeah, just a tad.
About the prospect of facing her in a special election for a battleground district. I feel like I might be the giddy one.
Curdy, Melissa Agar, the Democratic leader in the Republican-controlled Wisconsin Senate, said this: if Janelle Brangen makes it through the primary, it's going to allow people in Wisconsin to have a clear choice of what it is they're voting for in the April election. She said it would be more winnable if Democrats, if Brangen, pronounced Brangen, as we're saying, triumphed in the primary. Some Republicans agree. Curdy, the Republican State Leadership Committee, the leading national organization that backs GOP state legislative candidates, is broadcasting digital ads promoting state representative Dan Knoedel before the primary. And Country First, a political action committee started by former Representative Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, who retired from Congress after voting to impeach Trump, has brought digital ads calling Brangen an embarrassment. Like Brangen, Knoedel was among the 91 state legislators from several states who signed a letter urging Vice President Mike Pence to reject certification of the 2020 election on January 6th. He shares Brangen's vehement opposition to abortion rights as well. Brangen, who said in December 2020 that there was no doubt Trump had won that year's election in Wisconsin, became a favorite of the former president in 21 after being appointed to lead the Wisconsin Assembly Elections Committee. From that perch, she amplified a range of false claims about the 2020, invited conspiracy theorists to testify before the panel, sought to initiate an Arizona-style review of Wisconsin ballots, and appeared at rallies aiming to pressure her Republican colleagues to withdraw from the state's 2020 electoral votes, an impossible act under the U.S. Constitution. Trump praised her in his official statements and had her speak at a rally for the midterm candidates he held in Wisconsin in August. Curdy, we were there.
We were there.
But Brangen, a longtime figure in local conservative politics dating to her time 2 decades ago as a gadfly at the Menominee Falls Village Board meetings, did not fully draw the ire of her fellow Republicans until she endorsed the Trump-backed primary opponent of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who has been the state's most powerful Republican since 2019 when Democrats took over the governor's office. After Mr. Voss narrowly prevailed, he removed her as the Elections Committee chairwoman and organized his fellow Assembly Republicans to expel Brangen from the party's caucus. Asked Monday about his preference in the state Senate special election, Voss replied in a text message, LOL, let me quote Sarah Huckabee Sanders, normal versus crazy, I would vote normal.
So he's voting for the Democrat in this race, Don?
Right. There is a third Republican in the race. Van Mobley, a president of the village of Thienesville, was among just a handful of Wisconsin elected officials who backed Trump's 26th campaign. He's far less known in the district than Brangen or Knoedel, and Knoedel's a bar owner from Germantown. None of the three Republican candidates responded to messages. The Democratic candidate, vote for her, folks, Jody Habish-Sinikin, a former guest on the show. She is a lawyer who is unopposed in her primary, is running ads aimed at raising Brangen's profile. A parade of women in Habish-Sinikin's ads called Brangen too conservative and cite her opposition to abortion rights and her citation as a pro-life legislator of the year from a Wisconsin organization that opposes abortion rights. In all, Habish-Sinikin has spent $166,000 in advertising, while neither Brangen nor Knoedel has bought any television or digital ads. Habish-Sinikin declined requests to be interviewed about the campaign and her advertisements. Democratic polling of the race suggests she could beat Brangen in a general election, but could have a far tougher race against Knoedel. Joe Onslund, quoting him a lot, is spokesman for the Democratic Party. We're continuing to highlight Janelle Brangen and how she would be a disaster in the state Senate. We're going to continue to put her extremism front and center for voters. So,
Is that again, raising her up, putting her extremism front and center? Because that is appealing to conservatives.
I guess that's the point. But I think I'll go back to the fact that, you know, you're going to spend that money. Why not spend that money raising up Habish-Sinikin, right? I mean, or at least tie her into it somehow. Hey, you know, Jody Habish-Sinikin didn't deny the election. Vote for her. These other two people, you know, Knoedel and Brangen, they're down. They're the election deniers. Don't let them anywhere near the seat of power. I mean, I think you can do those things. And you know, what can I say though? It turned out, as the Times wrote here, they were correct in their efforts in the midterms. I mean, they won those races.
I would far prefer, as you well know, Dom, to see Dan Kelly win the Wisconsin Supreme Court primary amongst the conservatives. Of course, I'd like to see a couple of liberals go through, but that's not going to happen. We're going to see one conservative, one liberal. And, of course, I'd like to see your girl, Janelle Branchen, win the Senate primary, Dom. But not at the expense of resources, meager Democratic Party resources. When you gave to the Democratic Party people, did you expect them to buy ads for Janelle Branchen? That's where I draw the distinction down. Cashing the righties' checks to benefit the cause of this greater civic media mission? Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do that. But spending money to lift up the craziest on the right in the hopes that they will be the vulnerable candidate in the general election? No, that's a bridge too far, fellow.
But again, and we had this conversation during the midterms, and we were wrong. I mean, strategically, those that engaged the extreme mega candidates that did make it through their primaries got beat.
Tell that to Senator J.D. Vance. Seriously, tell that to Senator J.D. Vance from Ohio, that the extremist candidates, I mean, Mastriano got killed in Pennsylvania, didn't win. But J.D. Vance won in the state of Ohio. Ron Johnson won in the state of Wisconsin. Some of these extremists, they did win. They did win. And they were election deniers or fascist-loving coup wannabes in the case of our U.S. Senator from the great state of Wisconsin, Don.
Seditious conspirators, perhaps?
Well, alleged conspicuous seditious conspirators.
It sounds suspicious.
I got Monday mouth, man.
It's only Tuesday.
It is only Tuesday, but it's an important day. It's Valentine's Day. You know, if you're good at love, Dom, you got to be good with your mouth. Always like that.
So, okay, I'll just leave that. I'll let that one lay there, Curdy. Well done, sir.
Yes. What, you don't... Speaks.
I mean, if you're saying
your wife,
I'm just saying that if you're good, if you're putting yourself up there as a good lover and good with your mouth and having Monday mouth, and that the implication is you're not a good lover. So I wouldn't make that comparison. Not today.
Okay, you always have Monday mouth. Come back, more Devils.
This is a conspiracy. That's what this is.
I don't know, but I'm suspicious.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. I wasn't reminded of Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
I was reminded of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies overnight with a chance for scattered showers. Lows dip down to about 41. Southwest winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered showers. Highs level off around 43. 23 tomorrow night. Chance for snow. 1 to 2 inches of snow Thursday through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 45.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. 844-967-2789.
Bringing my Monday mouth to the airwaves 5 days a week, Dub. Here's an interesting article posted by a guy who works for the Associated Press. I'll just put it that way. Todd Richman. Prefer Scott, but anyways. Panel scolds Wisconsin justice for remarks in a Trump case. Talking about some malarkey, Dom.
No doubt,
read a
man.
Bit. A judicial oversight commission has dismissed a complaint against liberal-leaning Wisconsin Supreme Court justice who accused an attorney for the former president, Donald Trump, of making racist contentions and trying to protect his king, that'd be Trump, in a case challenging the 2020 election results in the battleground state. Judicial complaints are confidential under Wisconsin law, but Justice Jill Karofsky released documents to the Associated Press on Saturday that showed a retired attorney in Maryland filed one against her with the Wisconsin Judicial Commission 2 years ago. The commission decided in November of 22 not to discipline her, but warned her to remain neutral and avoid making sarcastic remarks from the bench. Karofsky would not be well suited to talk radio, Dom. Karofsky's attorney remained defiant, telling the commission in a letter Tuesday that Karofsky was willing to try to save the U.S. government and accusing the panel of allowing itself to become a political weapon.
Oh, damn.
Here's a quote, Tom. The judicial code requires judges to act with impartiality towards the parties, but it does not require a judge to turn a blind eye to dangerous, bad faith conduct by a lawyer or a litigant, Karofsky said in an email to the AP. I like her fire. Quoting a passage from one of her attorney's responses to the commission. Again, a quote. It is beyond reason to read the code to require judges to be mouse-like quiet when parties are arguing in favor of a slow-motion coup, as they were doing before the court here in the state of Wisconsin, Dom, without any merit or frickin' evidence, if I recall the details of the trial. Now, Trump filed suit in Wisconsin in December of 2020 after a recount confirmed Democrat Joe Biden had won the state by about 21,000 votes. The filing was one of scores of lawsuits Trump filed across multiple states in an unsuccessful attempt to overturn the election results and remain in office. And the Wisconsin lawsuit asked the Wisconsin Supreme Court to toss out about 171,000 absentee ballots cast in Dane in Milwaukee counties. And those listening in Wisconsin know that's where the Democrats live. That's Madison and Milwaukee. A little bit more. The conservative-leaning court ultimately rejected the lawsuit by a 4-3 vote. So democracy was preserved in the state of Wisconsin on a 4-3 vote. The swing being Brian Hagedorn, a judicial independent. But, I mean, this is a former Wanker attorney. This guy is a conservative in his own right, but he said, well, you know, perhaps the will of the voter should be done here in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, that's a shocking thought.
So the election was upheld in the state of Wisconsin by one vote. Anyways, the conservative leaning court ultimately rejected the lawsuit, the Trump lawsuit, by a 4-3 vote, with swing justice Brian Hagedorn casting the deciding vote to uphold Biden's victory in the battleground state. That's how close it came. 4-3. Dom, I think we should all know the name Jim Troupas, because here it is again. Maryland attorney Fletcher Thompson filed a complaint against Karofsky in January of 2021, accusing her of being hostile towards Trump attorney Jim Troupas. Oh, poor Jim Troupas. Co-conspirator to a coup. Poor attorney Troupas. He noted that during oral arguments, Kurofsky told Troupas that the lawsuit smacks of racism, that was the direct quote, because it sought to toss out absentee ballots in Wisconsin's two most diverse counties. It was a little racist, Dom. Thompson added that Kurofsky later told Troupas that he wanted the court to overturn the election results so that your king can stay in power. That was the quote of Kurofsky, and said that suggesting the election was marred by fraud was nothing short of shameful. Thompson accused Kurofsky of being discourteous and inappropriately launching personal attacks against Troupas. He said her remarks revealed a political and racial bias. He noted that Trump endorsed Kurofsky's opponent, Daniel Kelly, during the race in spring of 2020. And Kurofsky attorney Stacey Rosenzweig admonished the Judicial Committee in her February 7th letter for letting partisan actors hijack the judicial disciplinary system in an attempt to silence a justice who rightfully tried to stop frivolous and dangerous arguments that undermined our democracy. We believe the commission risks setting a dangerous precedent, Rosenzweig wrote, by allowing the commission to be weaponized in this fashion. The commission becomes a pawn of those determined to undermine in an independent judiciary. So who's this jacknut Thompson that filed a complaint, Dom?
Gertie Thompson said in a telephone interview on Saturday that he wasn't aware the commission had decided not to discipline Kurofsky. He said he wished the commission had taken action against her, but he wasn't disappointed with the outcome since he didn't expect the commission would even investigate when he filed his complaint. Yeah, a lot of lawyers filing lots of BS these days, huh? He said he was stunned that Rosenzweig accused the panel of being a political pawn. He said he's just a retired attorney who watched the oral arguments on YouTube and he has no ties to Trump or Trump's campaign.
I bet he freaking voted for the man, though.
Oh, you know he did. You know he did.
What do you think about this? The very blunt speech attributed to Kurofsky in this case. I mean, the guy was trying to overturn the election, the will of the voters in the state of Wisconsin without merit, without evidence, and had three willing jurists on the panel, had three corrupted Supreme Court justices willing to go along with it to throw out 171,000 legally and duly cast votes in the state of Wisconsin. What do you know, from the most diverse Democratic counties where the black people live and the brown people live and the people that probably weren't going to vote for Donald Trump. They all live in those counties. Let's get rid of their votes. I mean, it was clearly electoral malfeasance being attempted. And if you call a spade in open court, Dom, should you be punished for that?
Well, she wasn't punished. They did dismiss the complaint, but, you know, they put a little caveat. Be nice. Be nice to those who would attempt a coup. Be nice to those who waste our time in the court. Be nice to those who have zero evidence. I mean, look at all the attorneys under Trump and in his crew that have been admonished and fined by the court. Some have lost their licenses. Troupas should be one of them. She had every right to call him out on it.
I would allege Jim Troupas should be very worried about getting his own great freaking criminal defense attorney, because Jim Troupas, you're up to your eyeballs in seditious conspiracies, I would allege. Just an opinion, but I bet I could hold it up in court. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. It's going to be a happier Valentine's happy hour with your phone calls, 844-967-2789.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates.
But do you think the Biden administration's calling up Laura Ingraham and making the announcement to the world that we're invading Russia with amphibious troops? Come on, Trump. I mean, and I want to hear fine Trumpsters that want to defend that crap. You know, he's a little late for the early bird buffet. Maybe you people were just naive marks who believed he was a super genius.
Then I got some land I'd like to sell you outside of Fukushima.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com. telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.